The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. It's the holidays. Most of us overindulge in unhealthy foods, and then we spend the next few months of the new year trying to get it back off. Well, I have a solution. You can eat healthy and enjoy it. Gretchen Brown, registered dietitian and fellow gluten intolerant person like me, wrote a book called Fast and Simple Gluten Free. And you don't have to be gluten intolerant to enjoy these recipes. They can help you stay on a healthy food plan while still tantalizing your palate with a variety of delicious flavors. In the second half of the show, returning guest Dr. Deanna Minnick has started a new program called Peel and Heal. If you're looking for a meaningful relationship with food and you want a fresh approach to eating that encompasses not just food, but the emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects as well, then you're in the right place. Stay tuned to hear both of these interesting women. So, welcome, Gretchen.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Melanie.
Well, it's so nice to have a book that actually has recipes in it because, you know, I find things here and there on the internet, but it's very difficult to find something that is thorough, tasty, and affordable. So thank you for writing this book.
Well, thank you so much. It was an amazing opportunity, and I'm just grateful to have had it and frankly wanted to do it for those very reasons, to give hope to people like us that really love food and have some challenges to face but still want to eat well.
Yes, and it's getting a little bit easier when I go to restaurants. But even so, if the server says, oh, yes, this is gluten-free, and I ask them, does it have flour in it? And they'll go, well, yeah. I said, well, then it's not gluten-free.
There's still a lot of education to be had, I know.
Well, that's what we're doing now, is we're educating
people.
Yes.
Exactly. So thanks for having me so that I can be a part of that. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. So how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, actually, I was approached by a publishing house, and they offered me the book to write, and they just came up with the idea and wanted to know if I was interested, and then I had about 3 months to write the book, but I also did the photography for it, so I got about another month and a half or two to finalize the photos for the book. So it was a pretty quick book to pull together, but it was a blast. I had a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad, and I bet you sampled every recipe that you put in.
I did. I tested every recipe, so my friends and family members were thrilled.
Good. I am too. I haven't made any yet, but I've been having my mouth water just reading some of them.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And I think I can convince my family that if I make one of them, they're not going to necessarily notice that it's gluten-free.
That's what's amazing. And really, that was sort of my goal. And I wanted to write recipes for this book that were the comfort foods for those people who are now gluten-free, but they wanted to eat the things they've always eaten. And so that was sort of one of my goals for the book, is to use a lot of those recipes and create them for the book. And so the people that in the family that don't have gluten issues, they recognize everything that's on their plate. It's a chicken pot pie. It's a, it's a snickerdoodle. They know what it is. They know what to expect it to taste like, and it tastes like the original. So I think all members of the family will be thrilled with the recipes and the taste of them.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to find out that you were gluten intolerant?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know, but I would suspect that it might be a lifetime thing. I honestly don't mm-hmm. remember a time in my life that my stomach felt like what I would assume is a normal feeling.
Yes.
And I had always struggled with stomach pains. My husband and I were struggling to conceive. And my grandmother was diagnosed with celiac disease.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's side of the family is unfortunately riddled with autoimmune diseases, and my mom has rheumatoid arthritis, and we have thyroid issues all over the family, and my grandmother had type 1 diabetes. And so I had a blood test done, and mm-hmm. it came back negative, but my grandmother's had also come back negative, but then her small intestine biopsy came back positive.
Oh.
And I just had decided to stop eating it because we were trying to get pregnant, and I was a little, probably a little too ready to just have the problem fixed. And I did feel instantly better not mm-hmm. eating it, and I didn't want to have to start eating it again to have the small intestine biopsy. So, I've never been diagnosed with celiac disease. But I suspect that that could be an issue for me. And because the diet prescription is no different, and I already know that my family has autoimmune problems, I didn't go back to have the small intestine biopsy. So that was about 6 years ago. And mm-hmm. And I have never gone back.
Uh-huh. I'm glad that you haven't, because
I know. It's not worth it.
No, I've tried on occasion to sample some things to see, and until recently the reactions were pretty quick and pretty violent, and it was not worth the test.
Right. So. It's just not. I had a friend of mine say one time, if someone told you that a pan of brownies was laced with Drano, would you still be willing to eat them? And it's sort of the same exact thing. If you know that if you eat that pan of brownies with wheat flour in it and it's going to be horribly toxic for your body, then it's hard to be tempted, because you know that mm-hmm. it's going to make you feel terrible. So
yes.
That's how I feel these days.
Mm-hmm. And are you raising your child as gluten-free, or letting the child experience the normal things and then see later?
Well, I did, actually. I do have two children now. I have a almost 5-year-old son and a 3.5-month-old daughter. Mm. And I ended up getting pregnant just a couple months after I went gluten-free, which could have been coincidental, but I can't really totally think that it is. But he does not seem to have problems with gluten right now, so I do give him some. But mm-hmm. because I am obviously the primary cook in my home, and I cook gluten-free, he eats a lot of gluten-free food. But probably a small percentage of his snacks and school treats and stuff, he seems to be fine so far with gluten. But I'm keeping an eye on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what age it develops, whether it's, you know, in utero or whether it comes later. And that might be something Dr. Minnick can tell us later when she's on to see
yeah.
what happens.
I would be interested to hear. I think it's like many autoimmune things, that sometimes it's can be triggered young and sometimes it's triggered later.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, for me, I know mine has been since a young child.
Right.
I've had the symptoms my whole life.
Wow.
I just never knew what it was. And they said, oh, you just have anxiety. That's why you have stomach aches all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And it's nice to be told you're not crazy.
Yes, yes.
And it's also nice to be told that it's not anything worse than something that just means you can't eat gluten. I mean, it's not an expensive medicine you have to be on for the rest of your life, and it's not chemotherapy or radiation or some drastic therapy that needs to be. It's just a elimination of a food on your plate. So
right.
It's a blessing.
Right. But it was hard to withdraw, let me tell you. Coming
it
off
is.
The gluten, I went through sugar withdrawal and the wheat withdrawal. Mm-hmm. It was pretty intense.
Yes, it's interesting how your body really does respond that way sometimes, but I think when you look at it as you know, a step to becoming healthy and to feeling better, then it gives you a little bit more incentive for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really lessened my fibromyalgia symptoms within
wonderful
a matter of a year. The pain level was much, much less, and
wow.
the
fantastic.
Swelling was much less. So, fantastic. Yes.
Isn't it fascinating, too, because gluten just does seem to, when you talk to people who have gluten issues, the stories are always so different, and their symptoms are always so different, and it's not always a stomach thing. It's a fibromyalgia thing, or it's a headache thing, or, you know, it can just, it's that, and I think that's one thing that's so challenging with the medical professionals kind of getting a handle on this whole gluten thing, because it's so broad in the symptom spectrum. I think there's over 250 symptoms that...
I didn't know that.
Yes, that gluten can kind of trigger in people. And sometimes they're so... They seem so very unrelated to something within your diet, but they... But it is... That's it. That's it. So,
Emotions can affect it, too. That, you know, if you eat something you're not supposed to and you're upset, I think you're going to get a more pronounced reaction than if you were happy and everything was wonderful.
Sure. Well, and you know, gluten is a protein, and it's a very inflammatory protein, and so I think that it can have that sort of response in everyone. It just is a matter of how sensitive people are. It's sort of a scale, a balance of if they are going to tip the scale and then truly have an issue with it. But I in my opinion, and I'd be interested to hear what Dr. Minnick says, but I think everyone could probably benefit from limiting it to some degree, just because it's inflammatory responses in any individual is not a good thing. So
right.
And because gluten is an inflammatory protein, I think that it's harmful to some degree for everyone, but especially those of us who have obvious responses to it, and most especially those people with celiac disease.
Okay, good idea. Well, why don't we take a break at this point? When we come back, we'll talk about some more specifics.
Okay, sounds wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Registered dietitian Gretchen Brown is telling us about her gluten-free cookbook called Fast and Simple Gluten-Free. Yum, yum. Let's hear some more.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm very happy to have you. So tell us more about what gluten is. It's a protein. It's inflammatory. What else can you tell us about it?
It is a protein that is found in some grains, including wheat and bulgur and barley, couscous, rye, gram, some of the most common grains that are used in all-purpose flours and stuff like that. So that includes then baked products like pizza and cookies and sandwich bread, pastas. So this inflammatory protein seems to respond in some people, especially with those with celiac disease. It is very damaging to the villi of the small intestine, and it attacks mm-hmm. tissue, and it can cause a lot of different problems. And then those people who don't have celiac disease, we call non-celiac gluten sensitive. There isn't damage that's occurred like with celiac disease, but there is a broad symptom response to the gluten and in the body, and it still can be very, very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if people are told that they're gluten intolerant, they don't always understand. You've got to read all the labels.
Right.
Because the places that things are made, it might be right next to something that is gluten.
Yes. They're fighting right now to get some really good labeling. The FDA hasn't finalized their labeling law for gluten and gluten and gluten-free and celiac. Supporters are trying to get some good laws passed. But there are things to look for on labels, including under the ingredient list, anything that is an ingredient that would contain gluten, such as those mm-hmm. I just mentioned, like the wheat and the barley, couscous even, soy sauce contains gluten, Twizzlers of all things, sometimes they also have wheat flour in them, so it does mm-hmm. show up some places unexpectedly. And then also they are a little better these days about the allergen information underneath all of the ingredient list. Oftentimes it says that it has wheat in it. And also now some labels are saying that it was manufactured in a facility that also manufactures wheat. And in those cases, cross-contamination is a serious issue mm-hmm. because some people are so sensitive that if there's even a tiny bit that has come in contact either on the machinery or if somehow a little bit of gluten product has gotten into this other product that would otherwise seem naturally gluten-free, it can still cause problems.
Mm-hmm. And I just found out recently that McDonald's French fries are rolled in a mixture of flour and milk before
yes.
they're cooked.
French fries are always tricky ones because even sweet potato fries, sometimes they like to coat them to make them crunchier. And and so I'm very hesitant to eat French fries out, which is a very sad thing. It seems like it should just be a potato and oil and salt. But it does show up sometimes when you just don't. And sauces and
soups and gravies.
Exactly. So it does require some education, but once you kind of get it down and you know what you're looking for, it becomes immensely easier.
Mm-hmm. And even candies and gums and things can have it in it, and people don't realize that.
Yes, absolutely. And mm-hmm. I think as more people are finding they have issues with gluten, whether they truly have some sort of if they have celiac disease or if they have the non-celiac gluten sensitivity, or even if the people who are sort of doing it is more of a fad diet, mm-hmm. it's at least bringing attention to it, and so they're becoming more thorough. There's more thorough information online, and I think it's bringing more attention to the restaurants, whether that's good or bad. In some cases, at least it's getting the awareness out there a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I posted on my website a menu for Jason's Deli.
Yes.
Because they are very particular about how they prepare it. It's in a separate place. Their
That's
gloves
wonderful.
Are in the air so that nobody can contaminate them. Now, there's no pure, you know,
dedicated
free space. Right.
Right, but, exactly.
But when I go there, I know I'm safe, that I can have it, and I can see them make it from where I'm sitting, and so I feel confident that it's okay.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I hope that other restaurants follow their lead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had some pasta the other day at Olive Garden, and that was such a treat to have pasta in a restaurant that was gluten-free.
I know. I didn't realize that they had gluten-free pasta. That's fantastic.
They do. They have a couple of items on the menu, yes.
Well, good.
Yes. But be aware that many meatballs have gluten in them.
Absolutely. Breading, yes.
Yes, yes.
So. Yes, and breaded meats and things that some people kind of forget to think about.
Yes, that is true. Well, would you like to share with us one or two of your recipes from your book?
Well, you know, I would love to tell you some of the ones that are in there. I don't know exactly how to share the recipe itself.
Well, just kind of tell us what it is and what sort of things go into it. You don't have to give us step by step, but just give us some ideas.
Well, I tried to be very thorough in the book and have everything from appetizers to desserts. I have a very, very big sweet tooth, unfortunately, that I try to keep in check. There's a fruit and nut bark in the back that is a dark chocolate, that is melted down with some cranberries and pistachios, apricots, almonds, and some organic orange zest on top that would be a nice Christmas gift for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then also something that would be good on a cold day, snowy day, is my hot quinoa cereal. And it's sort of like a oatmeal, but it's using quinoa and cooked and made warm and stirred together with some grade B maple syrup and some flax meal. And mm-hmm. some cinnamon and blueberries and pecans on top. So those are a couple of the easier ones. But all throughout the middle, I have, I think I have 30 weeknight meals as well. So everything from Mongolian beef to green chicken enchiladas, eggplant parmesan and crab cakes and chicken saltimbocca, all these things that I love and would happily sit down and eat tonight. and the wonderful thing about this book is that almost all the recipes are 30 minutes or less from mm-hmm. start to table. So for those people who are busy and don't want to spend their entire evening in the kitchen but want something that's delicious and comforting, it's pretty quick and easy. And then in the back I have some baked goods that are also very easy but just require a little bit more time in the oven. So it doesn't really quite fit the 30-minute requirement because of the bake time.
Mm-hmm. For me, if I'm going to make something from scratch, sometimes the ingredients are so expensive that it's almost cost prohibitive to make an item. So
yeah.
How are your ingredients?
I try to keep my ingredients very simple but also very fresh and very flavorful. So I don't have incredibly long ingredient lists, also because I was trying to keep it the cook time very short. So if the more ingredients there are, the more time that's required to kind of deal with all of them. So it's all very basic stuff. I do have some that are like the crab cakes that wouldn't be a little bit more expensive for the crab meat, but the majority of the other stuff is just very basic and very simple. And I know that some gluten-free things can be a little bit more expensive, but I have both very naturally gluten-free things in my book, like mashed potatoes and some other, you know, like the quinoa that is naturally gluten-free and doesn't require any gluten-free product to be purchased.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of them, and I do have my own flour blend that people can use, or they can just buy a gluten-free all-purpose flour mix to use in the recipes. And some of those things can at times be a little bit more expensive, but I think you use them slowly, first of all. And then secondly, I just sort of look at it as an investment in health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's not an, like I said, it's not an expensive medication we're having to purchase. It's not an expensive treatment we're having to pay for. But it might be something that we can look at as an investment in our health and our future.
Yes, yes. Pay now or pay later.
Exactly.
Much more greater.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if people want to get your book or to go to your blog, how do they do mm-hmm. that?
Well, my blog is called Kumquat, and I've started that almost 2 years ago. It's all gluten-free recipes, and they're all free. They're online. And some of the book's recipes are online, and some of them were obviously only in the book, and that is www.kumquat, K-U-M-Q-U-A-T, kumquatblog.com. And from my page, you can also, on the right side of the page, I have links to different places to buy the book. But my book, Fast and Simple Gluten Free, is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and independent book publisher that is on has a link on my site. And it's also just available in the Barnes and Noble stores around the country.
Okay.
On the shelf. Mm-hmm.
And it's very cost effective, I can tell you. So.
Oh, well, thank you.
For probably the cost of feeding a family of four for a nice meal, you could get this book and have lots of recipes. So.
Yes, there's, I think, over 120 recipes, I believe, in the book.
Okay,
I
plan to have lots of stains on this cookbook as I enjoy
you.
It and try
That's
them.
A sign of a good cookbook, isn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you, Gretchen, very much for being on the show. And when you write your next book, let me know and we'll have you come back on.
Thanks again, Dr. Melanie. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Let's go to a break.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness channel of Voice America. We learned about the great cookbook for gluten-free folks that Gretchen had for us, Gretchen Brown. And now we're talking to my returning guest, Dr. Deanna Minnick, who is a PhD nutritionist, and she's going to tell us about her new program called Peel and Heal, but she's agreed to answer some questions about the gluten stuff first. So thank you, Dr. Minnick.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Melanie. It's really a pleasure to be on your show again, and it was such a delight to listen to what Gretchen had to say. This is definitely information that needs to be out there, and people are looking for those practical tips of how do you put gluten intolerance living into motion.
Yes.
So I'm really excited and really curious to get her book and see how I can include those recipes into my own cooking, as I am gluten-free, and also to recommend that to patients. I think
Wonderful.
It's fabulous.
So do you know statistically, you know, or research-wise, when does this gluten intolerance develop? Is it in utero, or does it develop as a reaction to something?
You know, all of the above. What I have seen in the science is that when they have infants that start on gluten-containing grains earlier in life, they have a greater propensity to develop gluten intolerance earlier in life relative to being on a rice formula. So I happened to just see that one study, which was, I thought, intriguing. But, you know, the gut's a very nervous tissue. It's innervated. It's also highly connected, and it's really the seat of the immune system. And so anything that provides an insult, as Gretchen was saying, and whether it's something in the in somebody's lifespan, whether it's a stressor or something to turn on those genes if somebody has celiac, then it can happen at just about any time in somebody's life. But, yeah, it seems that what we're seeing, too, is that all these different wheat cultivars that are coming out are so very different from the mother wheat grain that that kind of started as the progenitor, that people's bodies just haven't seen this over a long period of time, and also people don't have very good, healthy digestive tracts. So those two in combination with poor diet and lifestyle, just makes for a mix that could really give rise to gluten intolerance at just about any age, but it can start very early, and probably even in utero. Much of fetal programming is done in utero and can happen for three generations.
Something to keep in mind. We'll have to have you come back and talk more about that. But now we want to talk about your new program. So what's new on the horizon with food and eating?
Well, what my business partner, Angel Buster, and I are launching in January is a new program called Peel and Heal. So we're using the food metaphor of peeling away the layers of the self in order to look deeper at the core of what needs healing. So what that means is, if you think about it, we're eating and interfacing with food on the average of about 200 times per day. So that's a lot of interaction with food on a daily basis. And so it's often been thought that how we eat is how we live, and how we live is how we eat. So we are using the conduit of the eating experience in order for people to take an inward journey. So this is really using the experience of eating as a tool for personal growth and empowerment, really. And many people probably don't think that eating can be connected to so many things, but eating is quite a kaleidoscopic experience, if you will. It's really connecting us to more than just our physical body.
Well, I know so many things, like in the Old and New Testament, surround food. You know, covenants were made, feasts were having, you know, that sealed the deal, or a birthday was celebrated with a feast. So, yeah, food goes way back.
It does. It's ritualistic. It's part of ceremonies. It's part of faith practices and rituals. It is such a social connecting point for people. And so food and eating really spans much wider than just getting calories. In fact, that's why, you know, I think as a society, we just have to push past looking at diets as a quick fix. We really do. It's not to say that there aren't certain things that we need to tweak and refine, but at the end of the day, our belief about how we eat and what we eat can actually be very powerful. In fact, I just happened to be watching a wonderful video from Dr. Herbert Benson. He's a cardiologist at Harvard who's one of the pioneers in mind-body medicine and coined the phrase relaxation response. And he was talking about the whole aspect of the nocebo effect and how our belief in something really determines the outcome that we're going to have. So if we go to a restaurant and we think that the food that we're eating is bad, but we continue to eat it, our beliefs and feelings about that food will determine to some extent and to a large extent in many cases the type of physiological effect it will have in the body. So the belief aspects are big. What we think about our food, how we feel about our food, if you know, we have certain charged feelings. And so I think bringing all of that into the experience of going deep within the self is quite rewarding, and it really does take you into different terrains of your being.
Well, we talked about this last year, that I made it a spiritual experience to spend Thanksgiving alone on purpose, and made it a very ritualistic meal for myself. And it was a quite a spiritual experience.
Mm, that's beautiful.
It was.
Because holidays can be so stressful for people. You know, you think about Thanksgiving and all of the social pressures to eat and to eat a lot, and everybody's eating around you, and our social networks determine to a large extent what we're eating and how much we're eating. And so
yes.
For you to carve out that space and to be within that that whole aspect of gratitude and to dedicate a day to that is really, I think, what Thanksgiving is all about.
Mm-hmm. And I liked it so much I did it again this year. So.
Ah. That's
and it was funny because I was house sitting for someone in the place I was staying. Their heat didn't work. Their oven didn't work. Their microwave only partially worked. But I still had a wonderful time. And I got to savor the food. It took longer than I intended to fix it. And I had to do it in a different way. But when I sat down to eat it, it was like, this still tastes good.
That's wonderful. And really what you're tapping into is the healing power of gratitude.
Yes.
I just happened to be looking at some studies on the aspect of thankfulness and gratitude. And even Dr. Weil talks about keeping a gratitude journal for 1 week has mm-hmm. effects on the plasticity of the brain for months. It's amazing to think that just by resetting our template internally as to what we're grateful for, that it can have such a powerful physiological impact. But it is truly one of the aspects of health and healing that I think many times goes unrecognized.
I agree. I keep a gratitude list. So when I'm feeling depressed or poor me, I go look at that and I'll add some more things to it. So I have it close at hand. So if I get to feel out of sorts, I just go look at it and say, okay, time to add to the gratitude list.
That is great. I think if your listeners feel called to do that, it would be a wonderful exercise. There was even a study comparing people that did exactly what you did, writing down the things that they're grateful for every day. And mm-hmm. they had people that wrote down the things that bothered them that day. And then they had people that would just write down simple tasks that they did with no feeling or emotion. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that the individuals that wrote down the things that they were grateful for happened to be more successful and to be they were happier in their day-to-day life. And being happy is also one of the determinants of success.
Yes.
So it's like it all kind of wrapped together, right? You know, the being grateful spawns all of these different feelings within, which in the end just kind of feed into the whole process of what you're heading for, which is more growth, more expansion, and more connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you're happy, you have a different view of the world so that you attract the mindset that you're in.
Yes.
So if you're depressed, you're going to attract more things that depress you. If you tell yourself, I'm happy, you may not be there yet, but I am happy. I am going to attract the good things into my life.
Yes. You become a magnet for that, like you're saying. And even there are studies showing that happiness as a general lifestyle component impacts the immune system.
Oh, yes.
The people that are happy or even optimistic, there are studies where you have optimists and pessimists and they show the robustness of the immune system. And, you know, this is something that's free.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that if we can tap into that sensation of being happy and allow ourselves to consistently find things in our environment that make us really happy, surrounding our spaces with happy images, making sure that our family and friends, the people that we're connecting to, that there's some thread of happiness that either we're extending or that we're picking up on in that relationship. I think it's really key. It's key for our immune system. And if our immune system is functioning right, chances are we get our gut back in order.
Mm-hmm.
We get our whole system in order. We have better boundaries. We're able to overcome much more in the way of things in our environment that normally might be that we might react to.
Yes, and I always recommend
everything, but you know, it could help. It could help.
Yeah. I recommend people do not turn on the news when you're eating dinner.
not so good for the digestion.
No, it is
right?
not.
And
it is not.
I would absolutely agree. In fact, I think we spoke last time, too, even about having a meal of solitude, kind of like how you
yes.
did on Thanksgiving. But many times the meals that we have can be very mindless. And it's nice to be sharing meals with people because laughter and pleasure helps us to digest and assimilate better. But it may also be nice to have a dedicated meal, almost a meditative meal, so that we can combine meditation and mindfulness into the eating experience and to observe what that does to our body.
Yes. Yes.
So these are some of the things, you know, that we're talking about that we will cover in Peel and Heal. It's actually an experiential webinar series. Even though it is virtual, we connect as a community through a chat group, through exercises that are experiential in nature around food that allow us to experience more than just the food itself. It's like the food is a messenger for getting us to a deeper place.
Okay, well, how about we take a break at this point? When we come back, we'll get into more details. Okay?
That sounds great.
All right.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nearly everybody struggles with some sort of addiction. It can be substance abuse, eating disorders, sexual addiction, or even something much less common. Tune into Addiction in America with host Rebecca Bullion every week to learn more about these and other addictions. Our goal is to educate you about these addictions in order to help you with regaining control in your life. Addiction in America is broadcast live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Like 30 million other Americans, I have interstitial cystitis, a chronic inflammatory disease that feels like a bladder infection or prostatitis for men. Desert Harvest Concentrated Aloe Vera helps. It appears to give analgesic properties while coating the bladder. It's the only one that has a phase one trial. It's whole processed, whole leaf, and extremely concentrated. Go to DesertHarvest.com to order or call 1-800-222-3901. Tell them Dr. Melanie sent you. 1-800-222-3901.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Dr. Deanna Minnick is telling us about her new program, Peel and Heal. So, Dr. Minnick, what's your own personal journey that led you to be so involved with food?
Well, I don't know if I'm involved with food per se, but what I would say is that food and my relationship with food throughout my whole life has really been very eye-opening. And I would say that I was more or less very obsessed with food at a very young age. You know, it's one of those things where my mother was very healthy. She was kind of a health nut. And I had to eat differently from many of the kids in school. And so eating was always something that I was terrified of to some degree, right? It was like I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to stick out. I had these brown bread sandwiches with these really gritty peanut butter and banana instead of like your typical Wonder Bread with a thin layer of peanut butter and jelly, right?
Yes,
so I was different, and I didn't like that as a very young child. And then as a teenager, that continued on, and this started to manifest in emotional eating, binge eating. I like Gretchen, I was very tapped into eating sweets. I had a very strong sweet tooth, and I would hoard food, sneak food, especially sweet food. And so even though I didn't become overweight, as one would if you're taking in lots of these different foods, it became an emotional battle for me, and it was something that I wrestled with to a large extent. And I was also really interested in science at the same time. As I was going through school, I noticed I was good at science. I liked it. I was curious. I liked to explore. So as I got into college and started to study medicine, what I started to realize was that the field of medicine was not so embracing of things like nutrition. And I, being that it was so steeped in my upbringing, I couldn't understand why this element was not woven into physicians' practices. Because mm-hmm. While I was in school, I was also working at physicians' offices. I was a candy striper in a hotel or hospital. Uh-huh. You know, I was constantly around people in the medical field. And so I decided to go to graduate school to study nutrition because I realized that really health needs to be preventative as much as therapeutic. And this is the path that I started to believe in. And I started to see that the course that my mom had set me on from a very young age, that it all kind of went down this very perfect path. And through my own experience with food and eating, even through graduate school and learning about other people in graduate school that also had a lot of food and eating issues, I started to go deeper. And as I was in college, I was also taking yoga classes. You know, I think when you're a scientist, you're always into exploration and you're looking for the truth constantly. You know, scientists are truth seekers. And right. So not everything has to come in the form of a placebo-controlled double-blind trial, in my opinion. I think that there are many paths that can lead us to different aspects of truth. And it's like a diamond, right? It's just depending on which way the light is refracting through the diamond is how you see that truth. And so I started to weave together not just science, but also the spiritual aspects. Yoga, I would say, was my path to looking into other traditions like East Indian medicine, known as Ayurveda, mm-hmm. Also traditional Chinese medicine, and other aspects. You know, I became very curious, and I started looking into really the symbolic meanings that and how other medical systems approached health and healing in the body. So that really birthed this whole new approach called food and spirit. And spirit, in my mind, is really not spirits as in wine, but spirit as in God. In the Native American tradition, God is referred to as spirit. And so bringing together the elements of the physical, the body, with the elements of the etheric or the soul. And so that's really the continuum that I like to work within. And then helping people to walk that path and go deeper within themselves on that personal growth journey through that eating experience. Because that's something that I've wrestled with for so long and eventually used it as a gift. I think sometimes, just like Gretchen talking about gluten intolerance, and now she has, you know, she had this experience with her family having autoimmune disease, and now you can see that the product of all of this is a beautiful book with gluten-free recipes. And I think sometimes we are led down a journey not knowing where we're going to go, but in the end realizing that we're vehicles of service to others, and we're able to give back in the way of our own experience, even though it may have been grueling and not pleasant many times, we can somehow make something out of it for other people.
Oh, I agree. So when people take this, I guess you call it a webinar, is that the proper term for it?
Yeah, it's a community webinar series. So for people that aren't used to webinars, the way it works is you could just call in if you want. Or you can log into your computer. There'll be a link that you go to, and then you'd also be on the phone, or you can have your speaker is working on your computer so that you can actually hear the discussion and the dialogue. So I would, every week we address one aspect of the self as it connects to food and eating. So the first class we talk about the connection between science and spirituality, and we talk about unifying opposites. Right. So we talk about how the masculine and feminine really need to come together. I think science is great, but science with no heart or spirit to it is just science and logic. So we kind of talk about that. We kind of roll into the session with that discussion, and then we follow on with every week dedicated to a specific aspect of who we are as it connects to food. So, and I talk about this a lot in the book that I wrote called Chakra Foods for Optimum Health, talking about the connection of food to our body. So we talk about body in the second week, and issues of survival and trust and protection. And then we go on in the week thereafter to talk about emotions. You know, 75% of overeating is because of emotional reasons. So we dedicate a whole session to talking about emotions, feelings, and how that needs to be addressed in the whole food and eating context.
Okay. And then, will there be some online or offline support for one another?
Absolutely. And this is, much of it is with me presenting some material. And then there's a workbook that goes along with this with questions for people to answer and to address as we go through these sessions. And then I open up the phone lines, and we can all talk. We can bring up points. We can ask questions. And I've done this at various points in the past, and it seems to have worked very nicely, because then if people don't always feel comfortable asking questions in the forum on the phone, what there is also provided is an online chat group where people can upload recipes if they want, photos, their own experiences, and really create a sharing. And that's really the intent. I would love to create a community around these concepts, because we learn from each other.
Okay. How would they enroll in this class? What do they need to do?
Yeah. So what they can do is they can go to my website, which is www.foodandspirit.com. And on the site, on that homepage, there is a banner there that speaks to Peel and Heal. They can just click on that, and that'll take you to the website where you can enroll. There's also another website that I'm working with. It's Happy, HAAPPI.com, happy.com. And that's my business partner's website, and she has it on her site as well. And you can sign up through that website. Through either of the websites, you can enroll. It's very modestly priced. You know, we're just doing this to, again, create the community, especially with the New Year shift, right? Having, it starts, there are actually two sessions. One starts January 15th, and it's at the noontime hour, Pacific Standard Time, and it goes for 75 minutes. And it meets on a weekly basis, so it goes until March 5th. Okay. So, you know, sometimes people love to start these things just out of the chute the first of the year, because they just want to get on track again, and they want a renewed, refreshed feeling, especially with respect to their health. So I would say that this is one of those classes that people love to, just in my experience of doing them for many years, people love them as a form of resetting. You know, it's almost like, sometimes we just have to push that internal reset button and clear the slate, look at things with new eyes. So this webinar series is really meant to do that.
Okay. Well, Dr. Minnick, thank you so much for doing this interview again, because it's always enlightening and helpful, and I'm hopeful that many people will go sign up for that. So thank you so much.
It'd be great to have them, and thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Melanie.
You're very welcome. But now it's time to wrap up today's show. To reach Gretchen Brown, go to gretchen@kumquatblog.com. To reach Dr. Minnick, go to foodandspirit.com.
Next week, we're going to learn about what it means to be almost addicted and about the mind-body connection to cancer, a show you will not want to miss, just like today's. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.